What's going on, everybody? This is your boy. We're back on it. Back on it for Long Island Gaming League podcast. We're in for another treat to give to you guys. Here with my new interim co-host, Nick. Nick, what's going on, everybody?
What's going on, Bruno? How are you doing today?
Same old man.
Likewise, likewise. We do have a very good show for you guys today. We got my boy Vagabond TV over here to my left. I don't know what he's on for you.
Bruno. On the bottom.
Oh, he's on the bottom. That's fine. He's over to my left. He's been a longtime friend of mine, as well as a co-streamer of mine. Me and him like to stream a lot, but I'll let him introduce himself real quick.
Going on, everybody. Like Nick just said, my name is Vagabond. I am a 20-year-old gamer currently residing in Florida. And yeah, I'm excited to be here. Nice to take a break from all the craziness that is Rocket League.
And the craziness that is, you know, the current world that we live in at the moment.
Absolutely.
You're living in Florida, so you're in the beach. You're good. We're up here. I'm up here in New York in the freaking cold.
I'm up here in New York in the cold.
Yeah, you too. So I think my mind's in Florida. I'm up here.
I think everybody's mind is in Florida. We're just casually, hey, it's raining and snowing every other day.
It's been raining all day. I honestly don't care much for the beach.
Oh, yeah, that's right. You're not a big beach fan.
Not really a beach person.
And you live in Florida? Damn, that's a bad state to live when you don't like beach.
Yay! Yeah, I live 10 minutes away from the beach.
Must be nice. Must be actually.
What town are you in, out of curiosity?
Fort Myers.
Okay. I spent some time down there, here and there, and I like it. I would prefer being there right now, but
who wouldn't prefer being down there right now? Yep. Except for the alligators, we don't want to talk about, or the crocodiles. Alligators,
that
crocodiles.
Still would be fun. At least you'd have a little bit of, you know, adrenaline pumping. You go take a swim.
I would
and
love to wrestle an alligator. I might lose so quickly, but I want to wrangle up with one so bad. I just want to like jump on top of it. I want to like suplex an alligator.
Yeah, they're all talk.
Wrangle an alligator. Jesus Christ. Just seeing it would be what it is. You want to wrangle with one. All right.
I want to wrangle with one. Why not? It's on the bucket list.
You better make it your last thing to do, because you probably ain't going
to. No,
be
the last thing to do is wrestling a bear. That's the last thing. That one is a death sentence, and I know that, but it is going to be worth it. The content, Bruno. We are here for content.
My God.
That's more for your obituary than your content.
Exactly.
All right. So for everybody that doesn't know you or hasn't heard of you out there, you know, let everybody know a little bit more about you.
All right. Well, I'm from Long Island. I kind of got my start in life in Nassau County. And I just kind of, like, if we're talking about, like, how I started playing video games, honestly, I was very young. I mean, like toddler young. And my brother just brought home Halo 3. And he would set up the Xbox in the living room, and he would actually let me play with him. And I remember my first ever kill on Halo is in Team Snipers. So what was the map? It's one of those legendary maps. And I would think I was like 0-14. There, I had no kills and 14 deaths. And my first kill ever was the game-winning kill of that game. And my brother gave me the mic. And I was like, yeah, you just got killed by an 8-year-old.
That's worse than anything. Did you hear that scream? You're like, oh, no.
Yeah, so that's how I got my start into gaming. And then from there, just it took off. And, you know, playing N64 with my mom and Mario Kart and Pokemon Stadium was my favorite game. So
respect.
I think that's probably one of the – that's such an underrated Pokemon game, in my opinion.
There's a lot of underrated Pokemon games. I forget which one – I forget which one me and my brother have that we play on the Wii. It's like a fighting Pokemon game.
Oh, the one you battle?
Poke Tournament?
It might be Poke Tournament, yeah.
Something like that?
It's a lot of fun, though. It definitely is. There's another one that's like a free world or, you know, open world game. Forget what it's called, too. It's like really old. But yeah.
What's your opinion about Pokemon Go then? What do you consider that?
Pokemon Gold?
Go.
Oh, Pokemon Go. No.
Why?
Why? It's just because he's lazy, dude.
Yes, but
but nowadays you can do it from your house. They expanded the rate of you can do stuff because of COVID.
It's still no. It's like it was fun for like a year. It
now
was
ask fun. Yourself, how do I freaking even know that?
Because you still play. I know you still play, bro.
Every once in a while,
it's either you play or your kids play. One of the two.
I got my kids into it. That's the screwed up part.
Oh my god!
I got my yeah. That's when you know it's bad when you put your kids into the game.
I mean, to be fair, you know, that's how I plan to get my kids inducted into the little gaming community. Is like, hey, try this out and see how you like this, but then also try this out. You know, but yeah,
but that's different games. We're talking about Pokemon Go. It's supposed to.
No, be I'm talking about Pokemon. I'm talking about like old school Pokemon. Like I still got. I think I still have my Diamond and Pearl, OG Diamond and Pearl for the DS.
Speaking of DS, I just found my Nintendo 3DS with a Darkrai sticker on the front of it.
Yo, 3DS?
What's in here?
My son has a 3DS too, but he's into the Switch.
Everybody's into the Switch. Everybody who loves Nintendo is into the Switch.
The game that's in here is Call of Duty Modern Warfare Mobilized.
Call of Duty on the DS?
Yeah, dude.
I'm not even gonna ask how that is possible.
I've seen Call of Duty on the Wii. I've seen that. Yeah. I've seen Call of Duty on every other station, but Call of Duty on the DS?
I've seen Call of Duty on the phone.
That's normal now.
Call of Duty mobile
games are just apparently where it's at. But Call of Duty on how bad was that?
I mean, as a 14 or not even 14, as a elementary school, like. 10-year-old, it was great.
I guess. Was there a multiplayer? Was it just campaign?
Uh-huh. It was LAN.
Oh my god.
Jesus Christ. Yeah. Wireless back in the day.
Me. Do you know John Lloyd?
Yeah.
Me, him, Tyler Parenti, and Will Alexander. We'd all just play free for all.
Damn, Will, yo, everybody back from high school, bro.
Your high school is much different from mine. My high school was taking my whole entire freaking massive tower and my freaking shit to my friend's backyard garage. Everybody bring their computers and play like that.
Yeah, we had DSs.
See, you guys had DSs. I had to bring a freaking tower the size of a table over in a car to play.
Yeah. That sounds like
I'm still fun. From the time when it was dial-up, dude.
I mean, that's how it is now. If you want to do a LAN center, like at someone's house, you kind of have to bring your tower or your laptop or something like that. But either way, LAN parties are fun.
Yeah, but it was a little rough when you were like 2 a.m. in your house and your internet drops and you don't want to make noise to wake up your parents and you have dial up that goes in the middle of the night. That was my time. You guys got it good.
You went weird.
I'm not joking. That's how it is. If you even go Google it,
I don't think I want to Google it. Probably one of the worst noises I'll ever hear in my life.
Just to connect was like 5 minutes. Ugh. And if somebody decided to make a phone call to the house midway through, drop. Oh, yeah. You would always tell you, are you expecting a phone call today? No, good. Once you had yes, once you hear yeah, you're waiting for a call, not good.
Not so good.
All right, so enough beating around the bush. What is your favorite gaming genre? What's your shtick? What's your thing?
So my thing right now is what a lot of people would know me for, if they recognize my face, would be casting. I'm a caster for Rocket League, and I play all types of games, but right now the focus is Rocket League. I'm a coach and manager for a team. Okay. So, I don't know what genre you'd put that in, but
that's almost an MMO. No, that would be
Rocket League is more of like one of the sporty. It's like
it's a sports game.
It's like an action sports game because you can. Or
it's in a category of its own, I guess.
Yeah. So, right now I'm I'm mainly a caster. Obviously trying to get my actual play up. I don't know if I want to go pro or if I'm going to try to go pro, because I technically am older if you're talking about the pro scene. Because right now, actually, in RLCS, the oldest player in the championship right now is 21 years old, and I'm 20 right now. So
You guys retire young in Rocket League. Holy.
Yeah, Rocket League players are very young. I think Garrett G's 25. He plays for NRG. And that's my focus right now.
I think the oldest pro player in any esports, I think, is League of Legends, the Korean guy, I think it is. I think he's like
probably
30, I think he is. But he's been there since like day
one. He's been there probably since when it started, yeah.
But I mean, we're talking about League of Legends. That's not, it's not like you need to have the same skill as in, you know, a first person shooter as Rocket League.
It's all about strategy.
Yeah, right. I think League and, you know, Dota 2 and Smite definitely require a lot more skill than a first person shooter.
No. What I mean, skill in terms of physical skill, of reaction. Yeah.
Time. I 100% agree.
I actually think it's good for you to be old in those type of games, especially because of the strategy. I mean, the older they are, the more experience you have it, the better you know about, you know, strategy.
Yeah, he has seen every single scenario that you could think of in the game. It's crazy.
He could probably play every character.
Here in
NA, you know, we're like, oh, League of Legends, the hell? But you go, like, you go overseas to South Korea, to Japan.
There's not a single person
that has no idea what League is over there. Everybody knows what League is over there. A lot of people know what League is over here, but
it's not the same thing.
More in the EU and, you know, in the Asian continent.
Not as much in Europe as you would think, although Europe would be like a second, and first would be Asia, maybe, you know, Korea's and Japan, Korea more than Japan. But even like Counter-Strike and all those games like that, you think it's big over here. Over there is much bigger, and it started a lot earlier than over here. Like, we were way behind when they started. I was in Europe when all that stuff started, and they were making tons of money already on that stuff before it actually came out mainstream over there. So, I mean, but it's just the way they are. I mean, they're advanced technologically in everything. Everything they do, you see where it's a start: Japan, China, Korea.
No, yeah. I'd say it's more Japan than anybody. Japan is like the powerhouse over here for technology. They come out with something high tech every day at this point.
Dude, they the other day they unveiled that the actual size working Gundam robot. I don't know if you saw that shit online. Yes, full size.
I have not seen
Gundam.
Yes,
I have not seen that yet.
I
haven't.
It's the size of a freaking building. It's like 20 stories high. I swear to God, first time I saw this, I'm like, what?
I think they're getting ready for like a Godzilla fight or something like that. I don't know. Like, if Godzilla.
And that's where Godzilla's from, so.
Exactly. If Godzilla comes to Japan, they're going to be like, no, not today, Godzilla.
Speaking of, Team King Kong or Team Godzilla?
I'm going to go with King Kong.
No comments.
No comment? Brutal.
I can't pick. I grew up watching old school Japanese dubbed in English. I saw every Godzilla movie that there is today, from the first to the only one I have to see is the new one that's coming out. But I also saw the original King Kong versus Godzilla. I saw the original King Kong. I've seen all these movies. I can't pick. I love Godzilla, but I like King Kong. It's different. But at the end of the day, I think Godzilla would win.
See, I think it's the opposite. I think at this point, because he used up so much of his like radiation energy when fighting all the other monsters, mm-hmm. that he kind of went God mode at the very end there.
I know, but he never blew up, though.
No, he never blew up, but either way, I think he's in a weakened state at this point. So I think King Kong introduced not as, you know, weak and more primitive and is more willing to, you know,
well,
get his hands dirty more than Godzilla. You know,
Godzilla, King Kong is way faster than anything Godzilla's ever seen.
True.
That's my
thing. I also think it's going to be how many years later after that last fight are they going to make the movie, if it's like 30, 40 years.
Yeah.
he has the time.
To I don't think it takes place that much ahead because Millie Bobby Brown is still Millie Bobby Brown, whoever what character she played in Godzilla. She's playing the same character in Godzilla versus King Kong.
They explain a little bit, like
it might be a year time difference.
Maybe a couple of years, maybe 10 years, no more than that. I don't know.
They explained it a little bit in the trailer, like how, like when it is, like what time period they're in.
Let's see what happens. I mean, I'm happy at least I got to see Mothra in the last one, which I'm happy with that.
Honestly, that last one was really good. Like the best.
It was different.
I say really good because I haven't seen the originals. Out of all the new ones that are coming out with Godzilla, that's by far the best.
What did you think about the one with Matthew Broderick in it? Give me the truth. The whole truth and nothing but the truth, so help you God.
I don't really remember it that well.
Okay, so that says everything. Yeah.
Yeah,
I consider that the equivalent of Dragon Ball with Dragon Ball Evolution.
Oh, God.
That's how I consider it. That was just bad movie. That was a bad portrayal of a...
The one with Matt Broderick or the new
one? Yeah, no, the one with Matt Broderick.
Okay, from what I remember, that's why I'm... I thought you were trying to say...
That's the one that he had the babies inside of the Madison Square Garden.
Oh, I remember that one now.
Yeah. Oh, no.
I thought those were Velociraptors. I'm not going to lie.
No, those are baby Godzillas.
Those were baby Godzillas.
It's bad. That's bad movie making right there.
I remember that now. It was that. We're talking early 2000s when that came out.
1999, I think.
Yeah, that's like why. That's why I barely remember it.
You erased it from your mind right away. It's like, no good. Goodbye.
Yeah. Anyway, back to...
Yes, we already derived a little too much.
Yeah, exactly. Back to all things gaming. Vega, you said you were a manager, right? For the Rocket League team? What's it like being a manager?
It's pretty simple for right now. What we do, what I do exactly, is I schedule scrims. I schedule their IGL games. IGL is the league they play in. Just kind of give them a rundown of every week. Every Monday, I try and do that. Just find scrim partners and whatnot. I'm the one who has the final say in, like, if we try out a new player, I'm the one who kind of has the final say in that because I'm also the coach and the manager. So that's kind of what goes into the manager part of things.
Okay. Definitely a different dynamic to most games because a lot of people see, you know, how the players play, but they don't really see how the manager or the coach kind of assists them and kind of sets everything up for them and all that type of stuff. So that's why I ask, what's it like being a manager, at least for an esports team? Because definitely a lot of people that are listening to this are, you know, potentially interested in esports and all of that type of stuff. So
right,
definitely it's, you know, some crucial information to learn about managing.
Let me ask you this: you being a manager in a game as Rocket League, do you think it's a game that the manager has a lot more influence in terms of, you know, the actual way the players evolve in the game compared to other games like Counter-Strike, Call of Duty, all that? Or do you think it's all equal?
It's different. I wouldn't say it's more or less. It's different. 'Cause every game... that has a manager or a coach, like every team, every esports team that has a coach, it's all the same process, but it's different approaches to it. So what I might do is I might give them a YouTube video to watch, and then I'll send them training packs, and then I'll set up a scrim for them. That'll be like a whole day's practice. But in Counter-Strike or like Valorant, you know, if we're talking more now,
mm-hmm.
Counter-Strike is more rotational, right? And because there are certain things you can't teach a player, like true, gun skill or in Rocket League mechanics or that kind of thing. But what is the same is positioning.
Mm-hmm.
That's something you can always teach a player. You can't teach them, you know, how to stay focused after a 3-hour tournament and you're in the finals.
Of course.
It's stuff like that. There's just certain things you can and can't teach a player. And it makes the approach for each esport the same, but the process is different. Like, what you teach them is different.
Makes sense. What do you think is probably the main skill that Rocket League players need to have?
Rocket League is usually split up into two different categories. You have mechanics and you have positioning. And you want a perfect balance of both. That's what you want as a Rocket League player, because if you have the great, if you have great mechanics, but let's say someone blocks your shot, and you don't have the wherewithal to know how to rotate back to defense, you're going to get scored on.
Okay. And so mechanics is more of like your movement and stuff like that. It's more of like the,
your mechanics is how you can manipulate your car to score in creative ways. That's what mechanics, that's kind of the definition of mechanics in Rocket League. Positioning is where you set yourself up on the field for success. So if, I mean, if, even if it could go the other way, if you're too good at positioning and rotating and you don't have the good mechanics, you're not going to score. You're just not. Like, you have to know how to shoot. You have to know how to pass. You have to know how to catch. You have to dribble, air dribble. Yeah, you know, when you start getting to higher levels, you got to start learning things like a flip reset or a ceiling shot or a double tap. All that kind of stuff comes with being a pro Rocket League player. And, you know, they all have a perfect balance of both. And everyone has their specific play styles. But when it comes down to it, everybody has a perfect balance of rotation and mechanics.
Okay. Out of all those terms you just said, I know absolutely zero of them. I'm a little illiterate when it comes to anything Rocket League related. As everybody knows, I'm a first-person shooter guy. I'm a first-person gamer type of guy, I would say.
Not for sure, yeah. But still, I mean, it's would you, how am I going to say? Do you use tactics game-wise, strategy, like you would maybe, how am I going to ask? Would you, do you base yourself on actual soccer games to probably get a strategy?
Okay.
You understand what I'm trying to ask you?
Yes.
Blah, blah, blah.
So, yes, Rocket League is most compared to soccer.
Yes.
But I think that's wrong. It's actually more like hockey. To be specific, overtime in hockey. So, if you take the NHL and Rocket League and compare them, you'll see more similarities than you will in Major League Soccer and Rocket League. So in the NHL, in overtime, it's 3 versus 3. Skaters versus 3 skaters. Same thing in Rocket League. You got 3 versus 3. It's more about the pace than the actual sport. The pace to Rocket League and hockey are the most similar when you're talking about video games.
Okay.
But yeah, I mean, I see strategies. There are always different types of game plans and strategies to come up with. For example, the team that I coach, they pride themselves on being a really, really fast team, and they are. They're a lot quicker than a lot of teams, but kind of the counter to that would be to slow the game pace down and just kind of break down their defense. And that's what we've been working on. We've been working nonstop on defense, stopping those 2-on-1 opportunities. But I know teams that all they do is pass. And when it finally comes to that, when time comes, you take a shot.
Right.
I've seen teams, they'll play a way more physical game, meaning they'll send one player ahead to just start bumping and demolishing everybody. Just kind of messing up their rotations and their everything. So there's so many different types of ways to play Rocket League, and there's so many play styles. It's really cool to see how different play styles clash with each other and how certain players might have their personal play style and how they work together.
So it's definitely a lot more of the teamwork involved, more than, let's just say, Call of Duty, where everybody's running around acting like,
say it right,
Call of Duty, not Call of Duty League, of course. Regular hardcore Call of Duty, or core Call of Duty,
right?
Rod League, little more advanced for the most part. There are still some people that I've dealt with that like to do the little running around, has no teamwork whatsoever, but
overall, right. just like every esport, Rocket League, you need teamwork to win, and you're going to need a game plan, and you're going to need to execute it perfectly to win. That's with any esport. You know, there are more aggressive styles, there's more passive styles, you know, that kind of thing. So it all goes hand in hand. And in my opinion, Rocket League is one of, if not the most difficult esport to be a professional in worldwide. I can't think of any other video game where being a pro is as difficult as it is in Rocket League, simply from the skill gap between players.
Really? You think it's that hard?
I could see that. I mean, yeah, when it comes to any first-person shooter, when it comes down to mechanics and stuff like that, aim down sight, shoot, you're more than guaranteed a kill. You know, Call of Duty League, Rainbow Six Siege, Valorant, they all have their different mechanics, but when it comes down to it, like, if you have a decent crosshair placement, if you have a decent shot, you're more than able to do something. If in Rocket League, and Tim, correct me if I'm wrong, or Vega, correct me if I'm wrong, you need more than just, like, you can't really aim because you're playing more hockey, soccer, is what I'm going to call it, with a car just driving. It has more abilities, you know. It takes definitely a lot more skill, especially when trying to make a goal, when, you know, it's like, let's just say a 3-on-3, a 2-on-2, a 1-on-1 even. Definitely takes a lot more aim, and the aim is definitely a lot harder, I would say, than just casually right-clicking on the mouse, left-clicking to shoot on someone. When in Rocket League, it's completely different.
Now you're gonna get a lesson. Watch.
Yeah, when it comes down to comparing mechanics of different video games, Rocket League has the most mechanics out of any video game, even League of Legends. No, League of Legends, you have your cantrips, you have your ultimate, you have your spells. Rocket League has the most mechanics out of any esport, I think. And in fact, Dota actually might have the most, but Rocket League definitely, takes the most skill to be a pro, because when it comes to aiming, you have to place your shots the right way. You can't just throw it at the net. It's going to get saved. You have to put it in the corner. You have to put it around a player. Right. You have to pick a spot and shoot at it. And that's way easier said than done. You know, there are people who sit in training packs for hours and hours and hours every single day, just shooting and shooting and shooting and shooting and shooting. And, you know, just like you have, let's say, map knowledge in Call of Duty, you know, if it's a league play game on Nuketown, you got to know, you know, your map knowledge is super important.
Sure.
But, on Rocket League, you have to know your boost paths. So, you know, you have your six major boost pads, and then you have little pads scattered around the map, and you have to know the path. It's the same on every map, but you have to know your path and how to really keep your boost and manage your boost and rotate properly. And then also got to think about defense. You got to think about defensive positioning and clearances, and when you're in the air, you got to know how to air roll properly and hit it to a teammate or hit it around a defender. There's so many mechanics in Rocket League that it's almost impossible to fathom. And the glass ceiling for what's possible is only raising every single day.
Yeah. That's why I compare it to soccer. It's like the same thing. Anybody can play it. Not everybody can play it good.
Right. And that definitely goes for a lot of esports. Yeah. You know, anybody can play Call of Duty. Anybody can play Rainbow Six. But when it comes down to it, not everybody can be a pro. And they're pros for a reason. If it was easy to be a pro, everybody would be a pro.
There you go. Exactly.
Not everybody is also willing to put in the blood, sweat, and tears.
Don't say that, because I'm an old man and I'm willing to do it. I would never be pro because I'm an old man.
Yeah, but Bruno, you are the rare case of being an older esports player that is willing to put in time and effort into a game
it just has to do with I can work my ass off as much as I want, which regardless whatever game it is, I'll never be as good as a younger guy. a guy half my, not half, okay, 10 years younger than me, which puts you at 28, 27. Although it's already considered old, you're still better than me. Just because
you're older than us.
I'm going to turn 38 in July, dude.
Oh my God.
No, but see, like even a guy 10 years younger than me, the reaction time is totally different. They probably take like a quarter of a second less than me and I'm dead by then. Or the ball's gone, or, you know, it's, I can work as much as I can, but these hands can only go have 10 more years of waste than a guy 10 years younger than me. It's just, it's not only just, I personally think, and it's, I, then again, I'm going to pick up soccer. It's like anybody can be the kid at the corner playing soccer, but for you to be like a Cristiano Ronaldo or to be like a Leo Messi, he grew up after I grew up, but I watched the progression of Cristiano and I know where he came from. I saw his first game. I've seen all of his games since he started. I know his history. I know how he is. I know what he is. I all kind of know him personally in a way because I worked in a place that he actually on off season would go to. So I personally have seen how his workout is, his regimen is. But at the end of the day, he's one of those rare talents that are born with it.
Right.
I could spend months on this freaking computer practicing, but there's always going to be somebody younger than me that's better. One, for age. Two, because the kids that are born now are born with the stuff already implanted into them.
They're just cracked. They're insane at video games at such a young age.
Go watch Call of Duty League.
Oh, I have.
You saw the other day the Subliners destroy Minnesota, right?
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
That was... Whew.
Meanwhile,
Subliners, baby.
Meanwhile, that kid was dropped by them. Think about that for a second. And he dominated the freaking team. It's not just practice. It's you're born. That's something that you're born with. That's not something you learn.
It is also a little bit of what you learn. I mean, when it comes to...
A little bit.
It comes more with Rainbow Six. Because that game, it's a lot more than just, you know, you're born with skill. It, you know, there's plenty of different peaks, plenty of different angles. When it comes to mechanics, I do believe Rainbow Six is... slightly
yes.
up there
when it I've comes to it with you. Yes, it's true. There's a little bit more to it than just Call of Duty.
There's a lot more to it. Vega, you couldn't even attest. You've played Rainbow Six with me. There's a lot to go into when it comes to Rainbow Six, when it comes to, you know, picking the comp, when it comes to picking what loadout, when it comes to picking, you know, what gadgets, when it comes to peeking certain angles, when it comes to poking certain holes, certain rotation holes. Where your gadgets go, this, and that. And it goes on and on and on and on and on. We could be here for 3 hours, and I still wouldn't be done with my list.
That's true.
So when it comes to games like Rainbow Six, I would definitely say that it takes a lot more than just born with skill, just based off luck, you know. I would say more you need to have some sort – you need to put some sort of effort into the game.
In every game, you have to put the effort. I mean, you could be born with it, and if you don't have something that's going to trigger it to come out properly, it's a wasted talent.
Yeah.
You need, if you have the proper coaching, if you have the proper people around, you have the proper team, you have the proper family and friends and mind state, yeah, everything comes out perfect. But if you're missing one or two of those things, you can have everything.
Even if you have all that things, it still comes down to the player. The player could be having a completely terrible time, you know, one game, but then completely snap out of it and just be like, hey, I'm back. Just, you know, if he's slouching back in his chair, you know, on the PS4, we've all seen those memes, you know, when he's playing Call of Duty, he's playing a video game, and then he sits up just like this. He gets serious. He's zoned in. He's tuned in. That's when you know.
When it comes to someone who's like, I guess when we're talking about someone who's born with it, kind of like a prodigy, the first person that comes to mind for me is Shroud. No matter what video game he picks up, he's guaranteed to beat you. Even when he started playing Rainbow Six, he had professional players in a LAN tournament that he hosted, and he still won. Like, when it comes to someone, you know, who's just a straight up prodigy, just yep. born with it, knows everything, it's Shroud, because, you know, he's on the older side of that esports community, of that spectrum. Yeah, because, you know, when he was our age, just getting into it, there were no AIM training games. There were no workshops. There was no anything. And then he's just naturally, in my opinion, one of the best FPS players to ever pick up or to ever put his hands on a keyboard and mouse.
I mean, I think he started with Counter-Strike, and Counter-Strike yeah, is the
he
whole...
He did. He started on 1.16.
No, that was like me. And the whole thing with Counter-Strike is crosshair
placement.
Not having the freaking crosshair and still putting those headshots and still putting your bullets where they are. Everybody who's anybody right now, my age in terms of first person shooters, all started on CS.
Yeah. Like, what's his name? Olaf Meister?
Olaf. Yes. Oh my God.
Yeah. He actually just retired.
Olaf Summit, Shroud,
NES.
NES. Disrespect.
Hiko.
Even Disrespect.
Oh, yeah, he's been playing for a long time. He's been around.
He's the oldest guy on the circuit. Let's put it that way. Right now, talking about the whole Blockbuster, because that's all bullshit.
He's got a wife. He's got kids. He's got a house. He's set. He's good. He's got the life.
Yeah, he could stop today. His kids will never work a day in their lives.
He's got the money, which is different.
Well, he's got the money too, but that also
he's got the life because of the money. If it wasn't because
well,
of the
money, he's got the money because he's insanely good at what he does. He was an
Activision developer before anything.
Was he actually?
Yeah, he designed a lot of the MW3 maps, and then he got
That's
fired.
Why those
for...
were maps were pretty good too.
Yeah, well, one reason. Well, he also designed the arena. The Champions Club Arena in yes. Rogue Company. He designed that map.
Yeah.
And he obviously didn't develop it, but he designed it. He's been a map designer for a long time.
Yeah.
And even you could go on to his stream and he'll be talking about map design and like how, you know, obviously how bad Call of Duty is at it now,
yep.
but
no
but,
lie.
You know, how good that. Rogue Company is at it and all those types of things. He, I think, figured out how to be a streamer better than anybody else, because he's got the cinematics, he's got the knowledge, he's good at most games he plays. He figured it out. When someone asks me when you're growing your Twitch and you who do you want to be like, Dr. Disrespect, that's the first person that comes to mind.
Hands down.
He is the number one influencer that has an influence on how I stream.
He figured out how to play the system. He built the character. He built the image, the demeanor, everything around his character. That character, which he has been the same thing for years.
6 years, I think he's been.
Yeah, he's never changed.
Six, seven. I think it might be close to seven, if I'm not mistaken.
It's everything is the same. He figured it out. If you go see people that know him, they'll tell you. Out of stream, it's like a button clicks. He's a total different person. He's not the actual person that his character shows.
He's got to be some sort of like theater major in high school or something.
I don't
or
know.
College or something like that.
He was a sports jockey in school. He was a volleyball team player, basketball. He was a jockey.
I mean, I think at that point, it takes a certain level of like
either
insanity or skill to just flip a switch just like that and be like, hey, I'm a completely different
person. I think it's a little bit of both.
Yeah. It might take both. I mean, he is a little insane at times. I mean, we've heard him talk. He's kind of...
I've seen him flip on screen.
Ooh. I mean, Dr. Disrespect. Oh my God, you don't got to disrespect people like that. I know it's in your name, but don't do him like that, bro. Don't just
Dr.
give him
Disrespect
that
backhand. Has been... streaming for almost 11 years now. 2010.
Yeah. Oh my God.
He was originally a YouTube streamer. He started on YouTube. Him, I think Shroud. Who else? Him, Shroud.
Probably anybody else that's done major.
No, no, not everybody. Some of these guys started when Twitch started. Mm. I don't even think Ninja was in the conversation when when
Ninja probably wasn't even a thought.
Ninja started on
Halo.
But he was a little, dude, I still remember the other day I bumped into on Facebook. Family Feud, his family twice were on Family Feud before he was somebody.
Was he on it?
He hasn't been his family.
His family won, and then he was on it again. And then he was on it again after he blew up, and they did like a celebrity edition he was on.
He was Halo 3 player.
Yeah, he actually started in Gears of War.
Yes.
And then he moved to Halo where he was with Luminosity.
Yes.
And then I still remember that Halo 4 tournament when Luminosity won. Oh, that was probably the most entertaining Halo game I've ever watched.
That's how it started.
And yeah, that was a very entertaining Halo game when he won the tournament with Luminosity.
Yeah. Then you got guys like Lupo and Tim the Tapman. Tim the Tapman started CSGO, I think. Late CSGO.
He did. He started on 1.16.
Tim the Tapman is...
He started on 1.16 and WoW. You got to start on WoW.
And Lupo, I think it was the same thing, but Lupo's been around too for a while. Probably the same time as Disrespect. He's my age.
Yeah, he's 38.
That. Yeah. So he was...
He's also another one that has wife, kid... Nice house,
Lupo. Yeah,
yeah, but his Lupo's wife's been going through some rough shit lately. I think she has something, and it's been rough. But Tim just moved. Tim lived upstate New York, dude. He was a Syracuse boy.
Mm-hmm.
And he just moved out to Florida.
He's in the Panhandle.
He's in your neck of the woods, boy.
He just moved last year to Florida.
Oh boy, here we go.
His tattoo artist is in Orlando.
See, I've been meaning to get a tattoo. Completely off, you know, everything. I've been meaning to get a tattoo. I just haven't
made. You're going to be one of those guys that has a Legend of Zelda tattoo on him?
Whoever said that.
Look. You start thinking about it like, not a bad idea.
No, if anything, my brother would have one right here. He'd have the, whatever the.
No, yeah, I know what you're talking about.
The Zelda Triangle is what I like to call it. He'd have one right here. I'm calling it. That's going to be one of his first tattoos. He grew up playing Legend of Zelda.
Oh. That's a different
thing. I kind of did too. Me and him played Twilight Princess. That was the first game we played with our dad sitting in the basement playing on the Wii.
I've been playing Breath of the Wild. I'm having a blast.
Breath of the Wild was a fun game.
I played the original Zelda, so I can't complain. Golden.
So you played like damn. That's old.
It was the only cartridge that had its own separate color. Gold cartridge. When you saw that cartridge, you knew what it was.
You knew it was gaming time.
It's the only one that had its own separate thing was Legend of Zelda. It's been around. It's been around.
Yeah.
Just like Donkey Kong, just like Super Mario, although not that many people.
Listen, everything Nintendo has been around since a long time. They just keep bringing back the same characters. But honestly, the games that they're making, they're a lot of fun.
That's what they're for.
I can't complain.
They're not so much for competition. They're more for fun.
Exactly. They're not like Nintendo has a different mindset where it's like, I'm not here to compete with you two. I'm here to, you know, when it comes to PS4, Xbox, you know, PC. Meanwhile, those three are like competing like, oh, I have more people in my, you know, genre. Blah, blah, blah. Nintendo's just here like, I am king of all. You cannot defeat me.
I think Nintendo figured out how to. They don't know how to have a competitive scene. They completely messed up with Smash and everything, and they have no idea how to run their own things. They have to rely on companies like or not companies, but events like Evo and and just different LAN tournaments to do it for them. They don't know what they're doing.
Well, you
they
also have any... to think Nintendo was by themselves for a very long time until Sega came out.
Right.
I mean, they had Atari before them, which once they showed up, they had destroyed. And that was it until Sega came in, and still Sega had their thing, and Sega was the whole Mortal Kombat kind of stuff, and Nintendo had their own thing, and there was never competition. I mean, it was separate, and it's always been like that. Nobody has been able to come out with anything like Nintendo. Yeah. Nobody has even tried.
Nobody needs to try. They know they're going to lose instantly.
I don't know if that's a situation. I just think that people trying to make money in a different way. I mean,
yeah, it's more of the hype is, you know, more towards battle royales at the moment, I would say.
It's been like that since Fortnite, for sure. I mean, actually, since PUBG, because PUBG came out first.
Since H1Z1, I would say more.
Yeah, but you weren't really seeing a whole lot of Battle Royale hype. Yes. H1Z1 was just kind of its own thing, and like,
still
it,
is.
It was. Yeah, it still is. There's still a little player base. I'll go on it every now and again just to see if anybody's on. There'll be like 700, 800 people on. But Battle Royale just, they did, I don't know what happened. What happened with Fortnite and
what happened?
And,
what happened
PUBG? No, I don't know. I adjusted my mic and I muted it. But nobody has it figured out like the Battle Royale, like Fortnite did. They figured it out how to do it.
They figured it out up until season, I would say, 4. But even then, they still had a large player base. But that's when everything just got toxic.
Yeah, and then that's when pros started actually like popping up. Like season 6 or 7 was when real pros, guys like what's his name, Mongrel, were popping up. Just people like that were really popping up, and they were.
It started popping up more when they started doing the actual like. When a new season would end, the old season would end and the new season would start, that they would have the, instead of having like we have now, you have the update and then it starts. No, they would actually have streamers go play live. And then when their game would end, it would jump seasons. And that's how they started. Yeah. They had like the special events, like when they had the one with Ninja showing the robot coming down and the meteor and then the water and all that stuff. That's how they started to do it, because I guess they I think I have a feeling at one point they thought they were feeling that they were losing, you know, people. I think
they were, and they still are.
Yeah. I mean, we all know the original Battle Royale, right? Minecraft Hunger Games.
Absolutely.
We all know that's the original. We can't continue the growth forward without talking about Minecraft Hunger Games, bro. That's the original.
How can you compare that?
What do you mean, how can I compare that?
Total different games.
But that's the original Battle Royale. Survival of the fittest, and only one can win.
Wait. Nick, is your house burning down?
We're not going to talk about that. The fire alarm is going off.
Because I just saw somebody.
Just saw Nikki.
Yeah, that's my girl.
Everybody, if you see Nick lift, getting up and running, don't be afraid.
If you see a little orange light coming from that way, you know I gotta go. But no, I think her dad's cooking downstairs. Set up the fire alarm. I'm sure it's fine. If the house burns down, the house burns down.
Make sure he doesn't hear you say that.
Nah, it's fine. He's cooking. He can't hear me anyway. It's all right.
You have somebody walking behind you, man. I can cook. Yes, I can.
No, that would be my girlfriend, who's currently running up the stairs, gonna walk through the door now. Yep, there she is. I called that. That time it was perfect.
Oh, she's gonna whoop your butt.
No, she's listening to music. Anyway. Let's get back to talking about Vega. We were on a long rant.
Last thing we were talking about was comparing Rocket League with other sports. We were talking about Rocket League comparing to hockey, all of that. I think that's the last
thing we were talking about. I think we've discussed enough of, you know, that. Mm-hmm. But I feel a sneeze coming.
Achoo.
What? Is that your safe word? Does that mean let's back out now? No, I'm kidding.
No.
Vega, you said you were with an organization, association, company, whatever you want to call it, with the Melon Patch, I believe it was, right?
Yeah, so the Melon Patch is the organization that I currently coach and manage in. That's where my players are. My players are under contract, however, I am not. I'm not sure why, but...
Hashtag I am money for the coach.
Yeah. So so that's kind of where the genesis of my casting career has started a little bit. I did a little bit of casting before Melon Patch, but I joined their Discord and reached out to the owner, Woos, who's a really great guy. And just it took off from there. And that's where I'm getting my start now. That's where I'm growing, and that's where I'm planning to stay with Melon Patch. We're slowly but surely growing. We're currently looking for a main roster right now. We had a couple players leave trying to get them back, so, or get some players to replenish our roster spots. But we're trying to find, you know, all types of people. You know, we actually have staff openings right now over there, but you know, it's a great organization. We're expanding into Apex Legends soon, and you know, sooner than later, you're going to see Melon Patch on these main Twitch channels and, you know, holding trophies and winning tournaments. You'll see it soon enough, because this isn't one of those things where we just have a couple hundred people. We like it that way. No, we want to be as big as humanly possible, and we want to, you know, we want to run with the big dogs. And I think recruiting the right players, we could do that.
Yeah, man. I mean, I would definitely I would definitely hope so. I mean, I think that's the goal for even, you know, LAGL. You know, we want to grow as big as humanly possible. We want to, at least I'm speaking for maybe, you know, me and a couple of the other streamers who want to get more into the competitive field. We want to start, like, you know, at least participate in tournaments, start having our teams, start being recognized more in tournaments and stuff like that. You know, that I think that's just the goal for everybody. But I really do hope, you know, I do see a Melon Patch on the big screen one day. That would be amazing, especially you, hopefully at some sort of almost like a BlizzCon or
like a LAN tournament,
almost like a, almost, I wouldn't say a LAN tournament, but I'd say more of like a, almost like a convention of sorts, you know, almost like a ESL or anything like that. I would definitely love to see you and your goofy ass, you just, you know,
could you imagine
just being you, either casting, just talking to the people, commentating. I could definitely see that, 100%. I could definitely see that for you, 100%.
I would love to be on a couple of panels, like at those things. Like at, you know, like at Comic-Con, they always have those Twitch panels going all day.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, it's all about the work. It's all about the work. You know, you keep on doing what you're doing, do it right, and eventually somebody will see you. I mean, you cast already, you're already in the public eye, so it's just a matter of, you know, keep on pushing, keep on doing, you know. It's unfortunately, it's like everything else. It's like streaming on Twitch, it's like learning the games, it's like trying to be a pro. It's the grind is just it's just rough.
The grind is long and it is hard, my friends. Yes. Don't take that out of context. It is long and it is hard.
It is very hard and very long, and there's a lot of bumps in the roads and a lot of falls, a lot of broken legs, a lot of broken limbs. There are
bumps in the road. That does not sound good. You might want to go get that checked out. But
yeah,
you know.
But still, I mean, it's a grind. I normally say, yeah, there's a grind, but if it wasn't for the grind, the end game would not be so sweet. If everything was given to you, you get to the end like, this is it. When you grind, you fight, you claw to get there. When you get there, the reward is just so much better.
Yeah, I mean, just imagine how long, you know, Shroud, Dr. Disrespect, going back to them, imagine how long they were grinding and how they feel right now in their position where they have thousands of people watching them on a daily basis, have millions of views on YouTube, are constantly getting sponsored by various different companies for various different videos, streams, events.
They also didn't have the resources that we have today to get started.
Exactly.
Because you think about now, you know, there's all these people, you know, helping smaller streamers, like, you know, tips and tricks videos on YouTube, mm-hmm. or how to set up a program. They didn't have that. They did everything themselves. And, you know, I think your Summits and your Shrouds, your Disrespects, your Tim the Tapmans, you know, I think they deserve all of what they have because they put in the work so that people like us don't have to put it in.
True.
There's a different level of grind back, you know, 2010, 2012 that we don't have to go through because we're not the ones programming everything into Streamlabs or OBS. You know, we could go on nerdodie.com right now and completely rebrand a stream at the snap of our fingers. You know, they didn't have those resources back then. So I think they deserve more credit than everybody else when it comes to, you know, that grind or that process of becoming the name that they are today.
I compare that to if you know NFL and football, you know, fantasy football, what you have now, you have an app that does everything for you. 10 years ago, you would have to wait for the Monday newspaper, get all the numbers, do your own calculations, then get on the phone with everybody and get all the numbers. Now everything's this. It's the same thing with streaming. They opened the floodgates for streamers like us that started and for everybody that came after them. They opened the doors for us.
Yeah, I mean, now also, you know, they didn't have an Instagram. They didn't have a TikTok. They
had MySpace.
How many gamers were on
MySpace? And Facebook.
And Facebook.
How many gamers were on Facebook, though?
Well, they to be fair, they had Twitter. They had Facebook. They had...
there was other stuff that they had.
I'm sure they had, you know, I'm sure they had an Instagram. But again, Instagram didn't really blow up until, you know, more recently. You mm-hmm. know, I would say within the last 5 years, it's...
When Facebook bought them out.
Yeah. I would say, that, you know, especially now with TikTok, how many, you know, even myself, I could see myself, you know, I have a couple thousand views and, you know, from just some measly gameplay, like nothing spectacular.
Yeah, who knows what's going to be the next thing?
Well, exactly. That's the thing, you know, like a lot of these people now, they have YouTube to promote themselves. They have, you know, TikTok. Facebook, they have TikTok, especially TikTok being the most popular social media in the given market right now.
TikTok is the best promotion tool for a streamer in the world right now because, I mean, you look at a guy like Jordy2D, right? Before TikTok, he was making maybe 10 viewers a stream. Now he's one of the big names that you compare to people like Tim the Tap Man and whatnot. And also because Jordy2D is just one of those guys where he was so funny and underrated and good at the game and just TikTok, he got a couple million likes and on with that Sonic outfit he has.
Yeah.
And he just took off from there.
Oh, you got another guy, Action Jackson. I don't know if you guys ever heard of him.
Okay.
He's yeah. actually good friends with freaking Ninja and all these guys, but before he was not known. And now?
Well,
he's not that good of a player, though.
He was friends with Tim the Tapman for a long time. Yep. Yeah. He's been
Trevor May, who a lot of people don't know, has been streaming for a while, although he played baseball as a pitcher, but he's a streamer.
He plays for the Twins.
No, he plays for the Mets, actually. He just
got That's right. The Mets just signed
he's
him.
He's in New York. He's in New York now.
He's a New Yorker.
He's a New Yorker now. I mean, yeah, it's you don't have to be a good player, but it's all about, you know, how to put yourself out there, how to promote your brand.
Yeah, I mean,
promoting a name, for Christ's sake.
Yeah, I mean, nowadays, you know, you might not be the best of the player, but if you provide funny content, you get the more younger, you know, at least anywhere between 12 to maybe 15, 16, you know, audience. If you have more serious gameplay, you have more of like the, you know, much more the mature audience, I would say, from anywhere between 18 to anywhere, you know, maybe to Bruno's age or maybe even older than that.
Wow. Yeah.
No offense. I'm not trying to say you're old or anything like that. Listen, you were making old jokes against yourself, right?
Yeah, but I'm allowed.
I know. But I feel like we're family here, Bruno. We're family.
Hey, Bruno, not to say you're old, but, you know,
I
you're
am
fucking
old. I feel old. I'm sitting right here. My back is hurting me. Trust me, I'm old.
I mean, listen, my back's hurting me, but, you know, I'm...
Nowadays it's who started this whole thing is, and I'm gonna bring his name up again, but it's disrespect with the whole promoting, the whole persona. He figured it out years before anybody else how to become famous without even having to try. Come up with the fake persona, work it, live in it, show it. Work it to the extent, promote it. Look at him now.
It's you know how that kind of concept kind of came to be with the whole persona and character and using the character and all that kind of thing. That's a professional wrestling tactic.
Yes.
In fact, ESPN called Dr. Disrespect the WWE superstar of Twitch, of the internet.
Yeah.
Because you know, there's a thing called kayfabe in the wrestling world, and it's your character being that character, even outside of the wrestling world.
Yes.
So let's say someone like, I don't know, Rey Mysterio, if he's wearing his mask outside and he's still this luchador out in public, he's that's kayfabe. But
yep. You're known more for your character than you are for your real purpose. Like Dr. Exactly. Disrespect, if he doesn't have the glasses and the fake wig, if you're really not 100% of 1,000% a fan of his and you haven't seen pictures of him without it, you would never know who he is. You would just see a tall stick figure walking around in TwitchCon and you wouldn't even know it's him.
I mean, that's also the same thing with Marshmallow at this point.
Marshmallow wears a helmet, for Christ's sake. That's like...
Well, exactly. That's like his persona.
Daft Punk. You don't know who's underneath there.
Well, it's also
But
it's
Deadmau5,
I think, too. He does.
Yes,
that.
Exactly. You don't know who's underneath there, but that's a little bit...
No, Deadmau5 does his own... He's not...
Yeah, that's only on when he does
on stage.
His concerts. Yeah.
Only on stage he wears the thing.
Yeah.
I didn't know what Skrillex looked like for the longest time.
Skrillex looks like a freak almost.
I still don't know what Skrillex looks like because I don't.
He looks like a 12-year-old girl.
Yep, he's got long hair, all shaved on the side. I'm telling you, he looks like a total freak. But
he kind of looks like every single wannabe Viking haircut person.
Not that rough.
It's very sleek.
Yeah.
Very sleek, thin hair with like he's like it's like half shaved on the
and
side.
And he's a twig. He's a small little guy.
Yeah, he's small little twig.
I feel like all the DJs are small little guys.
Deadmau5 is 6'2", dude.
I'm saying scrawny. I'm saying like twig size. You know, like you
Deadmau5 is pretty fit. There's a couple of them that are fit. Younger.
I mean,
guys.
And then we have fucking DJ Khaled. Excuse the language, but we have DJ Khaled.
DJ Khaled is the only person I know that can work out for 2 years straight and not lose a single pound.
Jeff Ross.
Jeff Ross is worse than him. I've seen him on...
I think DJ Khaled's worse.
No, dude, how long have you seen Jeff Ross on roast and he's just fatter and fatter, that tub of lard?
It is.
Look at him. Look.
Oh yeah.
Oh my God. You got like Jonah Hill and stuff like that. They get fat. They get skinny. That guy's always huge, always, and he's famous. But you would think
Jonah Hill. Actually, I was watching this thing. I think it was on YouTube. Jonah Hill was actually very insecure about himself.
Yes.
And a lot of people went up to him and you know called him the fat guy in all the major movies and stuff like that, and said he's not a real actor and stuff like that.
He had the surgery. I think he did the gastric surgery before he did 21 Jump Street. I think it was with
Channing Tatum.
I think that was the flipping point for him because after that, everything I think he made, he was much skinnier.
Well, yeah, I want to say Channing Tatum was also. I think he was saying Channing Tatum was. A little aggressive when it came to, you know, making fun of Jonah's weight and stuff like that.
Ooh.
You know, he might have been, it might have been, you know, playful banter between co-stars and stuff like that. But, you know, maybe Jonah took it the wrong way. I don't know exactly
who
the
knows?
Full story. I'm not going to say I know the full story. I don't know the full story, but.
But he did lose weight for that movie, though. He was bigger before.
He was definitely bigger. I've seen him Wolf of Wall Street. I've seen him.
Yes.
You know, other,
he was huge.
You know, he was big. He was big, you know. But
now he has total bleach.
I've always considered him to be a comedic actor.
Yeah.
He's there for comic relief, but he's also there. He could be a serious role if he felt like being a serious role.
I think his role in 21 Jump Street with Channing Tatum, I think that's why it was so perfect. Just you have Channing Tatum, this, you know, structured, made of marble dude. And then,
I'm the beast. And then
Jonah Hill. I thought it was a perfect dynamic. That's why that movie was so good.
The first one. We don't talk about the second one.
22 Jump Street was good, dude.
It was, but it wasn't 21 Jump Street.
No.
No, it was 22. It was one more. It was one street more.
I am Mr. Wise Guy over here. I am Mr. 22 Jump Street.
I'm Wise Guy, eh?
Yeah, Wise Guy.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, let's get back to this because we're going way too off track.
Ah, but we're having fun while doing it.
What? Okay, so you already said where you started, where you are. You already said where you ended. Where you want to end, where you want to be, where you hope, which we do hope that one day you do get there, and surely you will. I mean, it's like I say, you're already out in the public. You're already doing what you like. You're already showing your qualities. It's just a matter of catching the eye of that one person. It's just... It's a grind, dude. It's a grind. But now you dealing with young players and people of younger age than us, although you guys are younger. Yes, you guys
okay.
are. But what you see, we know where this all came from. We know what's going on. What do you think is going to be the next step in the evolution of gaming? Your point of view, especially that you're coming from not the gaming side, you're coming from the coaching side, the management side, the business side, let's put it that way.
Okay, so for as a caster, obviously my goal would be to end up at a higher level and be casting these higher level tournaments like RLCS, which is actually happening right now. And just that kind of thing where you never know. Oh, as I say that, NRG actually just won the North American Major in game 6 overtime.
Oh,
but that's Jesus. The kind of thing. Yeah, that's kind of what I want to cast, and that's where I want to get to as a coach. I think I'm just going to stay in the academy, and because our goal is to kind of get these players ready to go to higher organizations mm-hmm. for their contracts to be sold or traded or picked up somewhere else, and that kind of thing. So that's kind of where I want to go as a caster. I do want to be this higher level caster, and like you said, it's all about who sees you, and you have to catch someone's eye to really get there. And you know, that's really there is to it. It's a lot of luck. The casting is, you know, it takes a lot of luck, but it also does take a lot of grinding and streaming and content creation. That's really how you become one of those casters you see on the big screens, you know, the ESL casters and the RLCS casters, you know, CDL casters. That's how you get there. It's just by grinding, and it does take a lot of luck and just being lucky and who sees you at the
as
right
well
time.
As it does take a lot of skill, you know.
True. It's not anybody
for,
that can
for you to be for someone to see you is one thing, but for someone to like what they see is another. Yes. You know, you have right. to be a good caster to get noticed and, you know, make it up there, which I have seen you cast multiple times. I attend, if not every one of your streams, almost every single one of your casting streams. You are an amazing caster. Keep up what you're doing. You're going to make it, believe me. I have sure. very high hopes for you.
See, a lot of these guys have it made in a way. Like I could say, for example, and I've seen a lot of it, like CSGO casters, 10 out of 11 of them were pro players at their peak. So their right. name was already there. It's like an NFL player. Like you got Tony Romo and stuff like that. His name was already done. He retired. What did he do? Become a caster. That's what most of these casters are. They were players. They were pros. They were already there. They retired. These businesses threw them a bone. Here, take a contract. Come and commentate. So you don't – and they of course they're going to say yes, because what are they going to do after 10, 11, 12 years of just knowing what it is to play? I mean, that's how they make it. That's the only problem is everybody who comes from outside of the actual pro – player circuit, it's a lot harder for you to get in. It's not impossible, but if you weren't an actual pro player that had his name already on mainstream, it's a little bit harder.
Yeah, and that is the hump that a lot of casters like myself face, and it's like I said, it's not easy to become a professional caster by any means. It's very difficult. And, you know, like I said before about being a pro player, if everybody could cast and be good at it, they'd do it. You know, there'd be 100 different casters going for RLCS, but they have 6 or 7.
10, and, I think, altogether, yeah. 10.
Yeah, RLCS right now, I think, tries to go with 10, and their B stream has 12 to 14. And just to be in that top 26 casters is, yikes, you know, it's not easy. And, there's a lot of competition out there because just the bubble of the amount of people casting is only growing. It's getting bigger every day because people think it's easy and they get in and they do it. They realize they love it and they, you know, it's that kind of thing. It's not it's probably the hardest thing you can do as not to get into when you're not a player.
True. And it's even harder for you to come in out of play when you have guys that were players that are taking the spot that should be yours by right.
Right. A lot of Rocket League casters were not pros.
No, I'm not talking about Rocket League. I'm talking about in general. Let's put it that way.
In Counter-Strike, I know there's a lot of former pros. Fortnite, I mean, those it's like Courage and Lupo. Those are the casters there. But
yeah, basically. That's the ones that want to put their name in that group.
Yeah.
Lupo and Courage, we'll take them. You know.
Well, Courage is a fantastic Call of Duty commentator.
He really is. Yeah.
So, I mean, that's kind of where it is with certain games.
And he's funny as hell.
Yeah, he's very funny.
I mean, he's been playing with Smitty more recently. He's been doing, you know, Warzone challenges with Smitty, and those are just funny videos to watch. Him and Smitty are great.
Didn't Courage push himself a little bit to the side in terms of playing with Tim the Tatman and Nick Merck and stuff like that for some reason lately?
I think it was more because he wanted to get the Among Us content while they were getting
Warzone
content. So he kind of grouped himself with, you know, Valkyrie, you know, yes. Brooke, Disguised Toast, Pokimane, all Saikuno. Those people.
Saikuno,
Corpse Husband, you know, all those people.
Yeah. And Valkyrie becoming streamer of the year. Let's not comment that one because I was watching that. I'm like,
that's a very delicate topic.
It ain't delicate at all. It's just pure hogwash.
You know, I don't care if you're a male, female. I don't care you're the streamer of the year. You're the streamer of the year. Valkyrie was not the streamer of the year.
Not even
her numbers shot up. Yeah, they did. Wait, if I'm picking a female for a streamer of the year, I'm actually picking Pokey, regardless of the Fedmeister drama. I am picking Pokey 100% because she helped small streamers. She donated
thousands of dollars,
so much money,
and she has very
small streamers. She has great content. If you're into, you know, the kind of just chatting, very chill content, that's her content, and she's so good at it. And you know, she's not very good at video games, but she makes those video games entertaining.
Yeah.
And
she's pretty good at Among Us. So
if I had to pick a female streamer of the year, it would be Pokey. If I had to pick a streamer of the year for 2020, Tim the Tatman or Nick Merckx, 100%.
Tim the Tatman was there, and I'm like, it's a wash.
I would say Dr. Disrespect, but he kind of got
disrespected. I'm talking about the names that were there because it was only Twitch streamers, I think it was, right?
I think Valkyrie streams on YouTube.
She does stream on YouTube.
YouTube? Okay, so.
Yeah,
so disrespect is a whole different YouTube thing. But from all the names that were there, I really think Tim Tatman was disrespected in such a way with that. That thing, he should have just...
He should have gone in
a wheelchair with that thing. He didn't have to run or walk. Just wheel me through. It's mine.
Yeah. His content, you know, you can't...
Dude, he takes time out of streaming. He literally takes hours out of his streaming just to play for content. Meanwhile, most of these other players take content from his stream. He takes the time to just stream for content. Not even stream, play for content.
Yeah.
So he doesn't give bullshit to his viewers. He does his bullshit on the side and comes out with the good stuff. These other ones, all their shit is just live shit that they did.
I would say a lot of his YouTube videos that I've seen is more of, you know, his same overlay, but I would say it's more of him recording it.
Yep.
Than during stream, because number one, you don't see, you know, so and so resubbed, you know, so and so donated, so and so.
It's pure just gameplay. It's just gameplay. There's no distractions. There's no bullshit.
Which is also another thing that I have more respect for, because he's putting in even more effort, more time into.
That's what I'm saying.
His videos, his content.
Yeah, it's him and Whips are the dynamic duo. You know, yeah. Whips being his assistant and all that.
Yep.
But just if I have to name a streamer of the year, it's Tim the Tap, man. You know, if it has to be female, I think, like I said, I think it's Pokey. But, you know, like I said, I don't give a damn if you're a man or a woman. Streamer of the year is streamer of the year. And if I had to pick one, it's Tim.
Oh, for sure. But that whole thing was even the... We're going rough with that, because that whole entire show, everything just went sideways. There were games that shouldn't have won. There were games that weren't even called for. So I mean, that was a rough one this year. 2020 was just rough in terms of that stuff, and from beginning to end. But that's the rabbit hole we don't want to get into.
Yeah. Keep running over all my wires.
So. You basically, it's just Rocket League, Rocket League, Rocket League, basically.
Yeah, I've been playing some Apex here and there lately, and I'm enjoying it, but yeah, mostly Rocket League.
And some Call of Duty. Can never forget the Call of Duty
game. Yeah, I'll, you know, Call of Duty's my last resort. I'm bored out of my mind game.
Last resort on board. Oh, my God. That's rough to hear. Don't worry, I walked away from it totally.
You play with us every so often. You play with, you know, me. Dennis,
I haven't played with you guys Call of Duty, and the last thing I played with you guys was Rogue. I didn't even play. I haven't played.
You
Call
played
of Duty.
You one played game with us. Yeah, you played with us like maybe a week or two ago.
Before we played Rogue.
Yeah, I mean, I wasn't there for when we played Rogue. I kind of was MIA.
I walked away from COD what, Christmas probably, just because with the whole updates and the bullshit and.
We played a couple weeks ago. It was you, me,
no,
Alex.
But that's all I used to play.
Yeah, it was besides you, me, Alex, Dennis.
Yeah, I never played that before that because it's just with the whole hacks and it was just that game, I think, is doomed. It's only not going to be doomed if the new game that comes out in November is worse than this one.
Yeah, I mean, also, you know, season 2 is out. Hey.
Yeah, they nerfed the DMR, and I go in the other day and I destroy with the DMR. There's no nerf on that.
I mean, DMR and hardcore is DMR or hardcore. You go DMR.
And... hardcore. I played it in regular core, and I was destroying with it. There's no. I think it's bullshit. I think they just put certain things out there just for people to think that they did it. They didn't do nothing.
It's a placebo effect.
Yep.
They don't really touch anything unless it's really broken.
Yep.
Then they don't really mess with anything.
I mean, the DMR, you know, in Warzone is,
dude, everybody was walking around DMR and the dual Renatis. I was playing with the same exact thing before in core, and I was having the same freaking effect. And I don't play core. Just saying.
You don't got to play core to be able to be good with the DMR and the dual wield DMR.
Headshot.
It's literally you press the trigger once, point blank, and they're dead.
What they do is that they say they nerfed, I don't know, the damage range on the DMR, and then you use it in Warzone, and the hope is that you'll go, oh, yeah, it's trash, it's terrible. But in reality, they didn't really change anything. Just
in reality, you're still hitting people from 400 meters away, one shot, headshot, just like, goodbye.
And that gun is beautiful. They shouldn't have touched it. It is what it is.
All they do is just get it into people's heads that they nerfed it and changed it, but they didn't.
But I mean, if what the new game is going to be like they say it's going to be.
What is the new COD game coming out?
They're talking about going back to Advanced Warfare type of game.
Oh, no. Really?
Yeah. That's
I'm not buying this. I'm not.
That's the last.
I wouldn't complain, to be honest.
I mean, Advanced Warfare.
You know what it is? That's what I heard last year that they were talking about that was going to come out, was they were going to go back to the whole advanced kind of thing. I think they're trying to, you know, they do 2-3 boots on the ground and then shit flips upside down like now it is. And they got to go a different way. So it's going to be, you watch, yeah, it's going to be another 2 years that it's going to go back to boots on the ground. It's like that.
Yeah, I guess that makes sense why it was Call of Duty, World War II, Modern Warfare, and then Black Ops. And now it's going to be back to futuristic after Black Ops 4, I think it was.
Well, the next game is Sledgehammer.
Yeah.
And they started the advanced movement.
That's why. That's their big thing is advancement. Running on the walls and boost packs and bullshit. That's what's going to happen. It's unfortunately, that's what it is. And I say I'm not going to buy it, but I know I'm going to buy it. And I know I'm going to shoot myself in the foot for it.
$60 down the drain, just like that.
And I'll be buying it on the computer, so that means I can't even go back to Best Buy and sell it. So, yeah, I know it, but... That's why I've already stepped away a little bit from it. I need at least a couple of months to see if they fix this thing somehow, which I know they're not.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just more excited for the new sniper rifle to come out for Cold War.
But apparently it's going to be like a Dragunov style gun with and it's just going to do a little bit more damage.
Yeah, I've heard it's going to actually, I think it's
what, an SR-85 kind of thing? What are they talking about? Did they say?
Maybe. They didn't really give that much information. I know they came out with a SMG and a new AR.
Well, it's the FARA 83. That's the new AR. That's the Galil.
Yeah. Oh, that's, yeah. Okay.
The LC10 SMG. It kind of looks like the nail gun from Black Ops 3.
The grease gun?
Yeah, the DIY or whatever.
It's like a PP90 kind of bullshit. I know what you're talking about. Oh my god. Yeah, that thing. Short range.
The new sniper rifle is a bolt action. It's a ZRG 20mm. Slower fire rate, but use of a magazine is faster reload time. And it's going to have the fastest bullet velocity in the class. So I assume we're going to see it more in Warzone than anything else.
It's probably going to be a freaking crotch rocket. It's probably going to be long as hell. So goodbye for hiding.
That's what it looks like, yeah.
If you're going to be hiding behind a box and your barrel is going to be 20 feet outside of the box.
But most people are playing, hardcore Nuketown 24/7. So they'll be sitting in either garage, just, cross map sniping. Yeah.
It's going to be a Warzone gun. It's going to be all Warzone. It's going to be a Warzone gun.
It might honestly break Warzone, though, if it's going to be more powerful. I know the Kar 98K is kind of like the main sniper. Yeah, but
the car's been surpassed by the DMR. The DMR is not even a sniper. Think about that, and before, not too long before that, the car was considered, was very underrated. Nobody was using it, although it was probably the best sniper that they had. I don't know.
I don't know either.
We're way off track right now. Oh my god.
Oh, Call of Duty's just broken. Well, I mean, we're off track, but we're not really off track because I did want to talk about Call of Duty and stuff like that.
Go ahead.
No, I mean, we spoke about everything that I want to talk about. The new guns. I heard there's a new Warzone map coming out, if I'm not mistaken.
I think so.
This is the ship, the yacht, I think.
No, I don't think it's the yacht. I think it's taking place in the jungle. I think it's taking place, if you've seen the trailer, it takes place in the jungle. Stitch, has Adler. They traveling into the jungle. Which hence the death machine, I think it's what it's called, the minigun.
Oh, that
you can now get as a score streak. Yeah, I saw that, Bruno. I saw that. Yep, they brought back the death gun. they brought back the minigun as a score streak. I actually one shot at someone that was literally had just turned it on.
That's like freaking walking around with a freaking grenade launcher.
Yeah, but I mean the grenade launcher you can use from cross map, it's even worse.
I'm tired of the kill streak system. It's a participation trophy. It's terrible.
Yeah, and then if you put in the perk that makes kill streaks cost less, or if you die you don't lose your count towards the kill streak, then you're fucking by three kills you already have.
You just use assassin and you can just get score streaks much faster.
Yeah, it's
terrible.
You stop being rewarded for actually being good.
I mean, a lot of people who, especially I do this, you get 5 kills in a row in hardcore, which is very, very easy. Mm. Literally, you can just sit somewhere or you can just literally rush into their spawner right off the bat. You get 5 kills, you already have your first score streak.
True.
Like, literally, I think it was just yesterday I got gold on my XMR because I literally did exactly that. I got my score streak and then I activated it. All I needed left was the detect enemies kills. So I just activated it. I ran into their spawn. I killed all of them. One game. I think I got 23, I want to say it was, kills with that. Yeah, at one time, I was so close to the nuke. Just so close.
Never had a nuke until now. No.
So close, but.
That's the only milestone I've never had was a nuke. I've been nuked multiple times.
I've had it once. I mean, you get nuclear, you don't get like a nuke. It's just nuclear. It's just like a 30 kill streak. It's just a 30 kill streak. You don't get an actual tactical nuke anymore.
I've been on the receiving side many times, but I've
never... Oh, I have been too.
Too many times. So, how long has Rocket League been around? Would you say?
June of 2015.
Okay. Damn, he's got that.
If he has to know the history at least to a point.
Oh, I know. I didn't know he was going
to... Like, I play COD, and I don't know the history itself, but I played the history of itself. It's different, but...
I've played the history. I've been playing since Call of Duty 3.
I remember World at War. That was probably the best one.
I think I skipped World at War. No, I played World at War. I lied.
That was probably the best COD ever. hands down.
Nah, okay. Black Ops 1.
World at War.
Black Ops 1.
My opinion, World at War. But my then opinion, again, I was a Medal of Honor guy, so.
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah, that makes sense.
Do you think right now the way Rocket League sits, do you think there's any room for improvement or?
What do you mean?
In terms of the game, like, do you think that it's that they can come out with a better game, or do you think they should just keep on
mechanics, new maps, potentially, you know, different cars, anything?
Like
that. I know they just came out with the Ford F-150, if I'm not mistaken, as a car that you can get.
Jesus Christ, is it a pickup truck?
Oh yeah, I actually bought it. Okay, but no, when Rocket League cars, they're always coming out with new cars just for fun. But everybody pretty much uses the same three cars, and that's the Octane, Dominus, and the Fennec.
Until the Ford F-150 comes out. Well, it is out, but until
The F-150 has the same hitbox and movement speed as the Octane. All the cars have the same movement speed, but the hitbox on the F-150 is the same as the Octane. And the Octane is like the number one car. It's meta, you know.
Yeah.
And people don't really deviate too much from, like I said, Dominus, Fennec, and Octane.
Okay.
Do you think there will ever be a time in Rocket League history where you would get different cars with different speeds or different hitboxes, different HP, anything like that?
Well, HP isn't really a thing, but if a car is going what's called supersonic, which is max speed, which is the same for all cars, and you hit an enemy, an opposing player, it'll demolish their car, and they have to wait 3 seconds to respawn. That's the only way you can die in Rocket League. But no, I mean, Rocket League thrives off of familiarity.
There you go.
That's what Rocket works. League...
Familiarity.
Yeah. Rocket League thrives off of repetitiveness because that repetitiveness leads to variations in every single game. Because every game is different. Scenario is different.
Okay. All right. So I guess Rocket League is going to be, if it is the way you say, and that they do not, you know, try to change anything and ruin it, it's just going to be that game that will never change forever. That
right.
will be... But but you're still able to be competitive regardless of it not evolving. It's a game that doesn't need to evolve, put it that way.
It doesn't need to evolve. It doesn't need to change. Obviously, new maps will come out with the same size field, just different aesthetics. They've already dropped two since September.
It's like a League of Legends. You get new characters, but everything else is the same.
Yeah, pretty much. And what was I going to say? I completely lost my train of thought. Holy.
Rain fart.
Bruno's got his
chips. So Rocket League tried changing like their map.
Okay.
It didn't work at all. Like, it did not work. Players were immediately just like, nope, get this out. Stop it right now. And they went back to what's familiar, which is, just the same field size, same field length, and the same three, four cars that you're going to see in a competitive match. They release this map called Badlands, which is a little bit wider than a normal map, and it slopes inwards. And everybody hated it. It's terrible.
I can imagine you're basically pushing everything to the middle of the field instead of everything being even.
Yeah, they also came out with these things called Rocket Labs, which is like, it will be, there's this map called Pillars. It's basically just two giant pillars in the middle of a circle of a field instead of an oval.
Hmm.
And there's, I forgot what it's called, but it's like hot dog shaped, where it's like there's a platform, and then a middle lane. Just they tried putting those in competitive and just immediately got shut down.
I thought it was just us Call of Duty people saying, no, get rid of it. Thank God that it's another
place. It's every game, every single game.
That's good. That's good, because at least like that, the people who play don't let the game get ruined.
Once Valorant players right now are already calling for Yoru to be removed. Like,
They've been already asking for Icebox. Is it Icebox? Or is it, yeah, I think it's Icebox.
What, the new one?
Yeah, the map to get removed.
Oh, yeah.
That map is terrible. I played on it once. I never want to play the game
ever. I haven't played it yet. I actually kind of want to play it.
I played it once. I played one game. I never want to play the game again after that game. The worst game of my life.
I was playing Valorant when it, what was it, the beta?
Yeah, when it first came out.
I was playing it since the beginning. I think the game should have never changed. Once they start putting in characters with abilities that just basically...
Reyna broke the game.
Reyna was a catalyst for...
destruction.
Too much. Too much.
There's actually a reveal. Too much now. There's actually a reveal for a new agent that has almost
Reyna-like space themed.
Abilities. Yeah. And almost she, Reyna-like abilities, but more AoE effects.
Yeah, she's gonna have the same thing as Killjoy, Yoru, and Omen all together in one. She's gonna be busted.
Now they're going too far, and that's when shit gets serious. That people start deriving away from the game. They want to make it a pro circuit game. If they screw it up that much, it's never gonna happen.
They could have just kept it to the simple original. Yep. What was it, 7 or 8 agents?
That was it. The agents were perfect. The game was perfect.
Yeah.
You want to come out with a new map? Come out with a new map. You want to give an extra new ability for each one or a second ult? Fine by me. Don't fuck with it. Once you put characters that totally can dominate with one ability, no.
Reyna doesn't even really even have one ability that just dominates. If you're a decent shot, you get one kill, you have either Q or E. E makes it so then you can pretty much go into this spectral form and you can just like glide around the map like, haha, you can't hit me, but I can see you.
Yes.
Or you can just, you know, heal back to 150 HP after being hit down to 1 and just like, okay, I'm back in the game.
Well, most of them have that ability. You got Phoenix with the fire.
Phoenix's fire lasts
for, Reyna's is too much.
Reyna's heals for...
She heals so fast and she can do it from across the room. It's insane how good
she is. As long as she can see the orb, she can heal to max HP,
that's
including shield.
They just overdid it right there, and I'm telling you.
And then her ultimate, her ultimate.
You're not winning a 1v1 with Arena, who's in her ult.
No way.
Fire rate buff, recoil, you know, decreased accuracy buff, heals whenever you kill them, and activate your ability to go completely invisible. For I think it's 2 seconds.
They better fix the game or it'll never go mainstream.
Killjoy came out, you know, vulnerability to bullets. You know, if they were playing on, I think it's Haven or Split or one of those maps. Well, whichever one has C long, pretty much is what I'm talking about.
Haven.
It is Haven.
Most horrible map I've ever played.
It's different.
Just because of the three sites.
I kind of like the three sites, though.
It's good if you would have
not when there's a Killjoy.
Yeah,
but what they made it. They did it right because it's easy to take a site back as defenders. True. The retake as a defender is good. Like I think that's honest. That's one of their better maps because they made it easier to retake a map. There's so many different entry points to the site. You know, it's not just, you know, you can't go 2-1-1 or 1-2-1 or whatever. And or 1-2-2, and then just it's over. You know, it's very easy to take a site back.
I just think the map's a little too big for just for the number of players that you have. I think.
Yeah, but also have to remember there are some people that have teleportation abilities. Where you have Omen that can teleport anywhere onto the map.
True.
With his ultimate.
After 7 kills, like what?
Yeah. But I mean, the game was good as it was, man. I mean, and all these players from other esports gave up their other esports to start being pro Valorant players.
Yeah, look at Hiko and Ninja. Rain left CSGO to go to Valorant.
Exactly. All these CSGO players fucking twist from Liquid, who just went to a phase. He's talking about leaving and go to become a Valorant player. You got half of the guys from Team Liquid are thinking about switching. You got a lot of these high-end pro players that are trying to switch over to Valorant, but if they screw it up, it'll never happen. They better be smart with what they do. If they get too cute, that's it. It's done.
I mean, I think they're already getting too cute with the game. That's the whole reason why I stopped playing. You know, you have some agents that actually require skill. You have, you know, Silva that you need to know arrows to be a good Silva.
You need to know ricochets, rebounds to put it where you want. Yeah. All that stuff. True.
You Phoenix also requires some skill. Sage requires skill when it comes to her walls. Who else is there? Jet. Jet's a little overpowered in my opinion. Her ultimate, you can get 5 kills in a matter of 0 seconds. You can just literally ult, spam everybody, they're dead.
True. You got Brimstone.
If Brimstone, I think, requires the most skill.
If not, that's the player that I've always used, and it's if he hits his ult, that's a 5-kill guarantee, one shot.
It's the same thing with Breach. Breach is so broken. He has like I think 4 stuns. He has, you know, like a disruption. He's got a super damaging ult. He's like, you can't beat a team that has both Brimstone, or you can't beat a team that has Reyna, Brimstone, and
Omen.
Never mind Omen, Breach. All the flashes, all the smokes, all the True. Everything. You can have a 3v5, and that 3 will win every time.
But you just have to have the player has to have that skill and know where to position everything. If you can, you use them and you don't know where to put your shit.
I mean, there's even sometimes where even with Breach, you don't need to know where you're putting your stuff. You just shoot in one direction. It goes everywhere.
But like Brimstone, if you don't know where to position your smokes properly, you're not going to cover nothing.
No.
And you when you do your ult, you could be just thrown into nowhere. But at the same time, if you're defending and you're by yourself and you have your ult and you know they're planting, you're hitting that bomb site, everybody's going bye-bye, and ain't no bomb going down.
Yeah, I think Valorant, you know, it comes down to how you use your characters. And I'm main Silva most of the time, and he just came naturally to me. I just like the way he plays. So, you know, I know my arrows, and, you know, if you get a Silva doesn't know how to shoot his arrows properly, exactly. You have no information getting onto a site.
Yeah, if you don't know how to, don't know those rebound points and where to hit it to get to around the wall, it's a waste. That's true. As long as you're not one of those guys that spends $20, $30 to get a skin that does nothing absolutely to a gun, mm-hmm. you're good. In my book. Oh, no, Nick, you got that face. No, you one of those?
No, I didn't do it.
I was going to say.
Spent a dime on
Valorant. The only thing I spent was for the...
The dragon?
The battle pass. I wanted to, but it's like $100 for this whole set. I'm like, no way I'm spending $100.
It doesn't even boost anything. It's just
the only thing it does is the kill animations, my friend. That's
It doesn't give you more kills.
Yeah, I know.
It just looks nice. That's the only thing that I think is a waste. I play with the original skins. It doesn't make a difference.
It doesn't. It really doesn't.
It's not like, you know, Call of Duty, you buy the packs, but certain packs have tracers, have the gun set up in a different way already. It's Valorant, it's just more for aesthetics. It's like
well, that's the thing that they wanted. They didn't want, you know, game enhancing, you know, they didn't want like a pay to win type of game. They just
don't make it cost $100
for the whole set is 100. To get one gun, it's probably like maybe $10. I don't know. 15
10 bucks too much in my pocket.
I know.
50 cents would be good enough, and there'd still be a lot.
I mean, listen.
There's also no resale value.
Exactly.
Yeah. You got it's not like Counter-Strike.
Counter-Strike, you can get it, you can unlock it, you can sell it.
Yeah, it's the same thing with Rainbow Six. There's no resale. You can sell your account. That's about it.
No, CSGO, if you unlock a gun and you don't like it, you go put it on the market.
Yeah.
So it's...
I remember the CSGO trading and gambling days. Those were fun days. That's a story for another time, though, because I feel like we're...
Yeah, it looks like we're going a little bit over already.
Well, not a little bit over, but I think...
A little over on the side of everything where we're supposed to be. This is derailed way off.
I wouldn't say derailed. I just more like...
Nah, it's a conversation. We're doing good. So, plans for the future inside of the game. Besides trying and going to be a pro commentator, what are your goals towards the future in terms of gaming?
I would like to be a content creator. I mean, I got to start pumping out YouTube content soon. I've been slacking on that. I do want to grow as a streamer. Obviously, that's happening now. I'm growing at I would say a good rate, and it's only a matter of time, I think, until someone catch someone's eye and they and they like what I see, and you know, next thing you know, there's a contract in front of me for Dignitas or that kind of thing. So we're just going to see where streaming takes me, but I do got to start pumping out the YouTube stuff.
That actually reminds me, I need to start doing the same. I have like two videos up. And
me too. Yeah. Well, don't worry. You're not alone in that one. Trust me.
Yeah. It's just more hard to keep up with the grind after, you know, working, doing other stuff, casting, streaming. It's just a lot to handle.
In my case, it's more not knowing what to use to do it, which is different. So, like, you got everything there in front of you. Like, you stream on Twitch, all the videos is there. It's just a matter of, in my case, not knowing the exact good app to use to make it. I know a lot of paid apps.
I can help you out with that because I use DaVinci Resolve, which is completely free.
DaVinci Resolve. Okay. Mm-hmm.
It's a major.
What about
not recording software, editing software?
What about Filmora?
Filmora is good.
You
have to pay for it. The DaVinci Resolve has everything you'll ever need.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay.
Learn something new every day.
Yeah.
Let me write that. DaVinci Resolve. Hang out.
No problem.
All right. You have any more questions, Nick, for our guest?
I think I'm all out of the questions, you know. I think I'm good. How about you, Bruno?
The questions have been gone for a very long time. Once we start going into natural talk, questions are not an issue.
Yeah.
So we're at that time. We give you the floor. Let everybody know where they can see you, where they can follow you, where they can see your content, where they can see your team playing. Floor is yours, man. Just put yourself out there.
All right. Well, my personal stream is twitch.tv/vagabondtv_. And my organization's channel is Melon Patch Gaming. Definitely check us out. You can catch me on that channel on Tuesday, where I will be hosting my podcast called Talk of the Patch, where we go over anything and everything Rocket League. I'm not entirely sure who our guest is going to be yet. I do got to find someone, but it's usually another caster or just someone who's been in the Rocket League scene for a while. And then, that's about it. Join our Discord. You could look us up. We're on Liquipedia. Definitely go to Twitter, Melon Patch Gaming without the last G. So Melon Patch Gaming. And you can find, we do have a link tree over there. So definitely come check us out.
Very good. Very good. It was an honor to have you on our podcast. Hope to have you at some time in the future again for another episode, because this one is great. There's so much more room to talk about more and more and more. Right. It's just, there's only so much you can fit into one.
I mean, maybe next time we can get somebody from the Melon Patch besides you, of course, onto the podcast with you.
I know plenty of people who would be willing to do that.
There you go. See, look, there you go.
Yeah.
All right, Nick. Anything else for the people? Let them know where they can find you.
Oh, well, okay. Since you want me to plug my stuff, you know, you can follow me, you know, you can see when I go live, twitch.tv/NikuChanGaming. I also have an Instagram that has a link tree set up, NikuChanGaming 1112. NikuChanGaming was taken because it's my old account. I don't have access to that anymore. It's a long big thing, but I have a link tree set up there. You can follow everything there, but that's pretty much it.
Alrighty, everybody, you guys got it. Here's our podcast for the week. Hope you guys liked our guest, my co-host Nick. Hope everybody is staying safe out there. Hope everybody keeps on listening, keeps on grinding. That's unfortunately what we got to do nowadays. But you know, grind is sweet, because at the end of the day, what you get out of it is better than anything you can get given. Man, trust me, the feeling is just through the roof. Pretty much, don't forget about our sponsors. We're sponsored by Monster Energy. They're juicing up our game, and Vertigear, which with their gaming chairs keep us nice and comfy while we sit down, because you know that's very important. And that's pretty much it. I hope you guys like our podcast. Keep on coming back for more content. We'll be back in 2 more weeks with another guest and another co-host. So everybody, stay out safe there and keep on gaming, man. Thank you.